Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
Well, good luck getting that one out of your head today. Raise the bar to walk effortlessly underneath. That sounds like a great New Year's resolution to me. We're going to set ourselves up for success right from the beginning. Well, good morning, Essential Church. So glad to see you guys today. I hope that you had an incredible Christmas. We're able to spend some time with friends, family, maybe just by yourself to get some relaxation, some rest. And for those of you who joined us for our Christmas Eve services this past week, what an amazing time that was. We had so much fun this year, and we're so thankful for every one of you guys who came and made that a priority this year to put Jesus first in this holiday season. We're going to talk today about resolution solution. And just real quick, for a quick show of hands, 2019 is almost over. We've got a couple more days left. I want to know who kept their New Year's resolutions this year. That's impressive. I didn't get anybody last service. Not one person, but it makes sense. Okay, that's good. Who is still trying to fulfill resolutions from 2018? A larger majority of people. I saw a post, we put a thing out on Facebook yesterday that was asking what your New Year's resolution is, and someone had posted on there that my resolution is to remember what I made in 2018 and try to finish what I did in 2017 and so forth. I think that that's really great to know that many of us are still trying to work on resolutions from years ago. A quick show of hands, who has made resolutions for 2020? Anybody do that yet? This is interesting. This is interesting because last service, not one person raised their hand either, which means that we are all setting the bar extremely low so that we can walk effortlessly underneath, which makes that song so much more impactful for this year. Maybe that'll just be our theme song for this year. You can look it up later. So I've been doing a lot of research on resolutions, New Year's resolutions, and thinking through what is it that resolutions are all about, and what is the statistics behind New Year's resolutions, and I found some really interesting stuff that I would love to tell you about. The first thing I found is that 60% of people say that they make resolutions. For 2020, 60% of people have said that I make resolutions for the new year. And here are the top 10 resolutions for 2020. The first one is this: to diet or to eat healthier. The second one is to exercise more. And the third one is to lose weight. Notice how all three of those things go hand in hand, but yet we've separated them so that we can raise the bar to walk effortlessly underneath them in case one of them does not work out. Number four is to save more and to spend less. Number five is to learn a new skill or a new hobby. Number six is to quit smoking. Seven is to read more, which I can't understand why anybody would want to do that. Number eight is to find another job or a new career. Nine is to drink less alcohol. And 10 is to spend more time with family and with friends. Now, based on that list, how many of you guys would say that one of those is or probably will be a resolution for 2020? The majority of everybody in here. That categorizes a lot of things. Here's what's interesting about this, is that of that 60% of people that make New Year's resolutions, 25% of people stay committed after 30 days. So 30 days of staying on track, staying on task, and after that, 25% of people continue beyond that point. Everybody else drops off. Anybody want to guess as the percentage of people who keep their New Year's resolutions for the entire year? It's 8%, which I would imagine that y'all two over here that raised your hands about 2019, you're your 8%. So great job. Great job. And maybe that's because you walked effortlessly underneath a bar that you set. I'm not quite sure. So 8% of people keep their resolutions through the entire year, which is not really all that unbelievable, being that we start New Year's Eve off every single year by literally dropping a ball. I had to give that one a minute for the first service. I thought it was funnier. I don't. So I did a lot of research to figure out what are the reasons why? What are the reasons why we have such a hard time keeping our New Year's resolutions? We look at this stat of 8% of people who keep them, and I wonder, what are the reasons? And so there's many, many different websites out there. There's top 10s, top 20s, top 5s, top 4s. I have narrowed it down to 4 reasons why I believe that resolutions fail for the new year. The first one is this, that you are treating a marathon like a sprint. And we see this to be true specifically with food, exercise, dieting, weight loss, all of those things. Because all of us want to go hard right from the beginning. I'm not going to eat sugar. I'm not going to drink caffeine. I'm not going to eat carbs. I'm going to run 17 miles every day. I'm going to exercise every single day. I'm going to raise that bar so stinking high that there's absolutely no way that I'll be able to achieve my goals. And then what happens? By about day 6, you haven't had caffeine, you're not eating the food that you like, you've become hangry, you've become irritable. You might make it through a couple more days because exercise allows us to be able to get some of that aggression out, which is really, really great, but there's a reason why only 25% of people stay committed after 30 days, and I think a lot of that is because you're treating a marathon like a sprint. Instead of trying to put good practices in place and good discipline in place and getting to that place, we want to lose 10 pounds in the first day, and if we don't, we're giving up. I'm done. Don't want to do this anymore. Number 2 is this. You're in too much of a hurry. You're in too much of a hurry. We see this true in a lot of different areas. We'll take money and finances, for example. I'm not great with money. I'm just going to let you know right now. My wife kind of handles a lot of the saving and stuff for us because it's not my strong point. But through the years, I've decided that I want to be better at this. And one of the things that I really wanted to get involved with more is investing. Now, I don't know anything hardly about investing. I tried to do the research, but it just hurt my head. I could not understand it. But then I found this really cool app called Acorns. And what Acorns does is it allows you to be able to deposit money directly every single month, and it invests it for you. You can decide whether you want to be aggressive or moderately aggressive or whatever, and it does all the work for you behind the scenes, and you can watch as your money grows. This was 6 months ago, and I have checked it every single day for 6 months. And I have made $4.25, and I'm so frustrated with this because I took the aggressive route. I figured I'd at least have 10 G's by now, no doubt, because that's what the commercial told me, is that I'd be able to, but yeah, I'm only investing $20 a month. You can't really do that. It's not possible. Percentages are very low. But I got so frustrated because I wanted to see that money grow, but 6 months later, it has not. There were times where I had lost money, which is even more frustrating. Stop taking my money. I'm just going to withdraw it all early. Or new skills, new hobbies. I have a 9-year-old, and you know, one of the things about younger kids is that kids want to be good at things immediately. And if they're not good at them immediately, there's no hope. I'll never be able to accomplish it. I give up. I never want to do it again. My kid plays soccer, and he was having a really hard time kicking with his left foot. Just a really difficult time, and he'd only been to like a couple of practices. Just a really hard time. And so we're on the way home from practice, and I'm like, buddy, you got to get better with your left foot. Complete meltdown in the back seat. I'm never going to be able to kick with my left foot. Ah. I'm like, dude, it's been 2 days. And so I did this thing with him. My dad used to do this with me when I was younger, and I used to want to hit him when he would do this to me. But he used to make me sit in the back seat or sit with him and say over and over again, I'm a winner. I'm a winner. I didn't want to say that. I did not. That is so irritating and embarrassing, and dude, just leave me alone. But he would make me sit there until I would say it out loud, and then he'd make me say it louder. He'd make me yell it out loud until I would maybe believe it or maybe just do it just so that he would stop asking me. So I sit in the car with him. He's having a meltdown. My wife's in the house. We're having a conversation, and here's what I say. I said, Parker, here's what we're going to say. We're going to say this together. Didn't want to do it. Didn't want to say it. But I'm like, we're going to do this until you believe it. So what I wanted him to say was, I can't do it now, but someday I will be able to. And he didn't want to say it. And he's whispering it, one day in the back. And then he would get louder. And finally, we're sitting in the car, and I'm making him yell it, louder. And he's, and I don't know if he actually believed it or not. Maybe he was just trying to satisfy me like I used to do with my dad. But again, we don't have the ability to be able to wait. We're in too much of a hurry. We want to be good at it now. I want to know how to play the guitar now. I don't want to have to wait and learn the chords. That's ridiculous. I should be able to play every song now. Number 3 is that you don't enjoy the process. And this could be true in a lot of different ways, but let's take reading, for example. You can't say that you want to read more in the new year if you don't enjoy reading to begin with. I know this because I've tried. And also, too, the more you read, the more you find out that sometimes reading is not the best because it spoils the movies. I'm opposite on that. I don't like to spoil the movies with the books because then you just get angry. The only book I've ever read, my wife made me read the what was the bow and arrow girl with the what was it, Hunger Games? Hunger Games. Thank you. Yeah, I read the first book on that. Read the first one. Stopped there because I was like, I don't like reading. And then I found out when I finished the first book that they were going to be making the movies. I'm like, I'll just wait for the movies to come out. And I remember sitting in the movie theater going to see this thing with my wife, and I was so angry. That's not what was supposed to happen. Who enjoys doing that? I'll just wait for the movie to come out. That's way more exciting. But you don't enjoy the process. Maybe it's dieting or exercising. You don't enjoy exercising to begin with. And so how are you going to ever enjoy the process? And the last one is that you put the cart before the horse. You put the cart before the horse. We see this true that, hey, this year I'm going to spend more time with my family. I'm going to spend more time with my in-laws. I'm going to spend more time with my parents or my cousins. But at the same time, you want to stop drinking. Don't put the cart before the horse. Take it slow. See, resolutions do a lot of things. They point to a lot of things, okay? There's all sorts of areas. There's lots more that we could add to that list. They point to a lot of things, but I think all of them are based on the desire for change for the good. We all want to change for the good. We want to put practices into place that will make us a better person, whatever that might be. Maybe we want to be more patient. We want to be less angry. We want to be healthier. All of these things is that we want to make a change for the good. And we see this into two different categories, at least within our church community and the areas that I'm aware of, is we see personal goals. We want to take better care of ourselves. We want to be more patient. We want to be less angry. We want to be more disciplined in areas in our life. And we also see this on the spiritual side as well, that we want to pray more. We want to read the Bible more. We want to strengthen our relationship with God this year. And a lot of those work hand in hand with each other. But the question is, do resolutions even work? Because if only 8% of people are keeping their resolutions, it'd be really easy for me to look at that and say, I don't think resolutions work, which would totally explain why when I asked if you guys made resolutions for 2020, nobody raised their hand. Because why? If they don't work, I might as well set the bar to where I can just walk effortlessly underneath it, and then if I don't make any resolutions and something really cool happens along the way, well, then I've come out on the, I'm good, I've won. And I would argue that maybe perhaps the reason that resolutions don't work or they fail is because we're not maybe approaching them the right way. See, it's really hard to achieve something when we don't have the correct pieces in place. Many of you guys know that I've got a baby girl that will be here in less than a month, which is crazy. We're getting really close to this, but not a couple of months ago, we received our crib in the mail in a box with lots of pieces. And I looked at this thing and I thought, this is just basically IKEA furniture. IKEA furniture is super easy. It's just an Allen wrench and a couple screws and you put it together and you're good. I said, 15 minutes tops, I'm finished. And the cool thing is I put the back part together in like 5 minutes. I was done. I was like, dude, I'm going to be done with this in no time. I'm going to enjoy my night. Well, 2 hours later, I'm sitting on the floor. I'm mumbling under my breath certain words. And I'm really upset. And my wife's like, what's wrong with you? My kids walk in and ask if he can help, and I'm like, you got to leave. Like, and I'm looking at my wife going, there's something wrong. No, there is something clearly wrong. These instructions are incorrect. They have not told me the correct thing, because now I have tried this 17 different ways and I keep having to take it apart because it's just not working. I would get all the way to the back part, get to the railings, the front leg, I'd get to the very last leg, and it would not go on. And I'm like, oh, there's something wrong here. They've told me the wrong piece. They didn't put the right little sticker label. Maybe that was supposed to be C, but this one was A, and it wasn't labeled correctly, which none of that. There's always going to be pieces that don't have the right stickers on them. And so I got frustrated. So I threw the instruction manual aside. I tore everything apart. I started over again. I'm like, I'm going to do this myself by my own sight to see if I can figure this out. What happened was is that they gave me two front right legs. They didn't put the front left leg in the box. They gave me two front right legs. And so it did not matter how many times I tried to put this together. It was never going to go together because I didn't have the correct part. Years and years ago, when my kid was really, really little, we put together a swing set, which, by the way, if you ever buy your kid a swing set, buy it pre-assembled, get it delivered. It will save you so much time and frustration and anger and years off your life, I promise you this. But it literally said, estimated setup time, 4 to 8 hours. I'm like, what? So I got like two buddies. I'm like, well, if we get multiple people, we can cut that in half, maybe, potentially. And so we get to the, like, I'm talking one of the very last steps of this process. I've got the whole jungle gym put together. I've got the bar with the swings. But there was one piece that looked really, really similar to a piece that I had already used a while back. And at some point, my friend read the instructions wrong. I'm going to blame it on him because it definitely was not me. And we get to this piece, and we just will not fit. We'll come to find out, like, the second piece we put together on this thing was the piece that I needed. And we had to tear the whole thing apart and start over again. And I'll never forget us out there trying to set up floodlights in the dark in the middle of the night. It was like midnight before we finished this thing. And it was so frustrating, but we didn't have the pieces in the right place. And what I'm trying to tell you is that maybe your resolutions aren't working because you don't have the pieces in the right place and you're not approaching it the way that you need to approach it. See, it's like trying to lose weight without exercising. It's not possible. It's like trying to save money while still using your credit cards. It's never going to work. It's trying to stop drinking while still going to bars. You see where I'm going with this? When we don't put ourselves in positions for success, when we don't have the pieces in the right place, failure is inevitable, and that's what we're seeing with the 8% of people that achieve their goals by the end of the year. The rest of you guys did not have the pieces in the right place. So in order to change things in my life, in your life, should I make resolutions is the question today. Should I make resolutions? And if so, what is the right approach? What are the correct pieces and how can we get the correct pieces in order? And I think in order to figure this out, we have to figure out first, what is the purpose of a resolution? And so in order to do that today, we're going to turn to Scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 through 12. I'm going to put this on the screen because we're gonna really rip this thing apart, verse by verse, line by line, and I want you to be able to see it as we do that. And so, if you have it on your phone or in your Bible, that's great, but it's here if you want to look at it and just continue to make reference on it. But I want to break this down because I studied this passage of Scripture this week in a new way, and for the first time in probably my entire life, I feel confident moving into 2020 that I might actually be able to see some changes for the good in my life because I think I may have figured out the formula. And so I want to go over this together. Let's read it out loud. I'll just read it really fast. To this end, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot going on here, and it's really easy to pass through this and to just blaze on through and to keep on reading, but I want to take this and break this apart, and let's study this together. From the beginning, to this end, we always pray for you. From the beginning, this is written by Paul, by the way. Paul is, from the beginning, he is asking God to do this. He is praying to God to do this because he knows he's powerless on his own. He's praying from the beginning. We always pray for you to do this. And so he is praying from the beginning that God would do this for him. It continues to say that our God may make you worthy of his calling. That word make, you'll see in a lot of different translations, you'll also see words like count or enable or consider. And I don't really think that they really matters because I think the word that stands out is the word worthy. That our God may make you worthy of his calling. And so I did a little research, and Paul talks a little bit more, and there's a few other areas where he speaks very similar to this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, he says, "We encourage and urge you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory." Paul is praying from this moment that God would do this, that we would be able to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his his kingdom and glory. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1, Paul is talking to the church to walk in a manner that shows the worth of your calling. He says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. The word worthy shows up time and time again. And the calling, I believe, is based on grace. The calling is based on grace. The calling that God gives us from darkness into light. Grace is the concept of the calling. And I don't believe that worthy means worth it. I don't think that it's saying that you are worth it. I think worthy means something completely different. I think worthy means fitting or suitable. That we walk in a manner that shows the worth of the calling, not our own worth. Worthy of a high calling from God himself. And so the question is, how will that happen? How can we walk in a way that is worthy of his calling? He goes on to say, and may fulfill every resolve for good. That word good and resolve being very similar to resolution, the idea of desires, the idea of goodwill, that he would fulfill every resolve for good. See, Paul is asking God to fulfill the resolves that we make. God, will you fulfill the resolves that we make? And every work of faith by his power. See, when God fulfills a resolve for good, it becomes a work. When he fulfills that resolve, it moves from something internal to something external. It moves from something that we want for ourselves or want for what we're doing to move to an actual work. A resolve is a resolve. A work is something that's happened, something that's there. It moves from something internal to something external. And now it is called a work of faith because God is doing it by his power. It's the faith that we have in God's power which produces the work, which turns the resolve into a work. See, according to the stats, only 8% of people turn the resolve into a work. We can all make resolutions. We can all say we want to be more patient. We want to be less angry. But according to the stats, only 8% of people, and that may even be a stretch according to the hands I saw in here, that might be a stretch in and of itself, but we all set out with these really good intentions, I think. I think the resolves are there. We really desperately, truly, we want to be a better person. We want to make a change for the good, but we never seem to be able to keep those resolutions, and I think it all boils down to that word worthy, the word worthy, because I think that instead of approaching it in the sense that I'm worth it, I need to lose weight because I'm worth it, I need to save more money because I'm worth it, I need to be more patient and more kind and less angry because I'm worth it, I think we need to reshape the way that we think to say, not because we are worth it, but because God is worthy. Because God is worthy. And so how does God fulfill our resolve and turn it into a work of faith? It says, by his power, by the power of God. It's the faith in the power of God that moves our resolutions into works, that moves our internal to the external. So what is the result? If we fulfill resolutions in this way, if we reshape our way of thinking, what is the result? The result is so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. Why is the word Jesus? I wonder this. Why is the word Jesus the one who will be glorified? Throughout this whole thing, we're talking about the power of God. Why now does it say so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you? And I believe that it's because Paul knew that the power that we're talking about is a Jesus-purchased power. It's a Jesus-purchased power. See, Jesus becomes the provider of this power. Through his death on the cross, through his resurrection, we are able to receive the power provided through Jesus Christ according to the grace of our God. The grace of God in Jesus Christ has made this power available to us. It's been purchased through his death on the cross. And when we trust by faith in that power for God to be able to turn resolves into works, the name of Jesus becomes glorified in the process. But not only does the name of Jesus become glorified, it says, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him. And I imagine what this would look like if we were to reshape the way that we look at our resolutions and the way that we reshape the way that we look at our resolves, and we move them from an internal focus to an external focus, and we move them from an attitude of being worth it to an attitude of him being worthy. Imagine what that would look like, our health and our exercise and the discipline that we are able to create in that process, and becoming a healthier person, to be able to be more active, to be able to be more present in the lives of our family and our friends, to be able to create health disciplines that can help us not only just in our physical walk but in our spiritual walk as well, because that's what exercise and dieting is all about, is about creating disciplines. But yet we sit and we say, I need to read my Bible more, I need to pray more, I need to spend more time with Jesus. Let's use those healthy disciplines that we can create through our resolves to be able to glorify God in the process. We say that we need to save more and we need to spend less. What are we saving for? Are we saving just so we can sit on a pile full of money and be able to say, look at what I have? Or are we saving because it allows us to be able to be a generous person, to give back to what God has provided, to be able to bless a community around us? See, every week we ask you to give back a portion of what God has blessed you with, and you've seen the impact. You saw at Christmas Eve, you saw the video of what God has been able to do through the generosity of this church. Imagine what we could do if we were able to save more money so that we could glorify God through our generosity. Imagine what we could do if we were able to spend more time with friends and family, or if we were able to cut back on the amount of time we spend in bars and things like that, so that we can be a light unto this world, so that we could be less of a stumbling block to those around us, so that we could be a positive influence on the people in our life. It reshapes the way of thinking as looking at this as not because I'm worth it, but because God can be glorified in the process of me creating these resolves and turning them into works by faith in his power. So it's a lot to unpack here. It's really simple. It's just, I don't know, what, 7 lines of text, but man, there's a lot there. And so a summary of this really fast, if you're taking notes, if you're thinking about how you're going to use this in this next year, is this, that it starts with the grace of God and Jesus. That's where it starts. It starts with his grace. Before any of this takes place, we know that God's grace is the starting point. And from there, grace moves God to show his power through us. Grace moves God to show his power through us, and that power moves through our faith in that power. See, we have to have faith in that power in order for that power to be able to move through us. And through that faith, God does two things. He fulfills our resolves for good, and he turns them into works of faith. And when we trust in the power on the basis of grace, God fulfills our resolves and he turns them into works. And this leads to God being glorified in us and through us. And we are glorified in him in the process. So, the question being, should we make resolutions? And I would say, absolutely. Absolutely. We should make resolutions. But we should make resolution by God's grace so that we may accomplish them through God's power for God's glory. Let's reshape the way that we look at resolutions as not because we're worth it, but because he is worthy. And I believe if we can just get those pieces in place, you're going to see God do immeasurably more than you could ever imagine in your life. And you might actually be able to get to the end of 2020 having looked at the resolves that you made and seen how God, through our faith in his power, have turned them into works for good. Let's pray together this morning. God, I thank you so much for all that you're continuing to do in our lives. I thank you so much for a fresh start, for 2020, for an opportunity to be able to leave behind us all that we are carrying with us and to be able to walk boldly into this next year. Father, I pray that for those of us who have given up on resolutions, for those who have seen them fail, for those of us who have walked away from our resolutions, that this year it wouldn't be about doing something that brings glory to ourselves, but rather glory to you. Father, moving away from the way of thinking of that we are worth it, but that you, God, are worthy. I thank you for all that you're doing here at Essential, and I just pray, Jesus, that you would begin to stir within us a heart of gratitude, a heart of generosity, a heart of servanthood as we walk into 2020, that we refocus our thought process on you and your glory and the faith that we have in that power to turn our resolves into works of faith, works for good. God, I thank you for all that you continue to do. I thank you for your son, Jesus. I thank you for his sacrifice and how the power that is within us is a purchased power that we all have access to if we just believe in your son, Jesus, and the sacrifice that he made for us on the cross. God, may 2020 just be an incredible step into our future of putting you first and bringing glory and honor to your name. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.